everyone. My name is Pastor Maya Rodriguez. I want to welcome you to my weekly podcast. It is a true privilege to be able to share the good news of God's Word with you. Enjoy.
Welcome to church, everybody. Yes, happy Sunday, everyone. I'm so happy that you didn't press snooze, or maybe you did, and that's why your hair looking a little raggedy, but it's okay. We made it to church. Tell your neighbor, we made it to church. We made it to church. I'm so excited and privileged to be able to be on this stage right now, sharing a message from our new series that we are announcing today. It is called Masterpiece. Somebody say Masterpiece. Masterpiece. I love colors. This is like my type of vibe, just so out there and crazy. Masterpiece. So we're going to go ahead and dive in right into the Word of God, and I ask that if you get easily distracted on your phone, try not to use your phone. I promise you, you'll get much more out of it if you just give me 20 minutes to get this revelation for you. And this is our key verse. It's found in Ephesians 2:10, and it says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew." And I want to pause at that word right there. That's our key word, anew. What does that mean? It means that since we are God's masterpiece, and he's creating us anew, that doesn't mean that he just puts a little bit of crazy glue on the ugly parts of you. Or he doesn't just put white out on those mistakes you made years ago. He doesn't put duct tape on your life just to try to fix your broken self. He doesn't do that. The verse says he has created us anew. Is anybody grateful for that in the house of God? We are grateful because we are made anew. We are God's masterpiece, and he is the ultimate artist. We are his canvas, and he is the artist. And it says this, that Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us a long time ago. Now, some of you may think, wait, he planned my life out? Like, I'm a robot? No. You have free will. God has predestined you, though. He does have greatness for you. You have to be willing to unlock it. You have to allow the masterpiece to put his brush strokes on your life and create something beautiful out of us. It says that we are not fixed, patched up, or refurbished. I remember when I was getting my first car, I got a cute little Mini Cooper, and we still got it. It's the best car ever. I can go 90. No. If there's any cops in the room, I'm going 70 or 65. But, you know, it's like a little go-kart, and I can go fast. But anyways, when we went to go buy that car, like, the brand new ones are super expensive, so my dad's like, uh-uh. Like, you got to get either a used one or something. But they had this, like, Mini Cooper refurbished line that it was like, well, it probably was like in a collision or something. You know, they changed a couple parts, and so the price was cheaper. And sometimes we think God does that with us. He takes out the ugly parts, and he's like, okay, you know, you're not perfect, but you're like, you'll pass the test. But that's not how we are. We are not refurbished. God didn't just take out ugly parts and stick something new. He has made you completely a new creation. We are a new creation, his masterpiece. An artist's masterpiece is also distinctly known. Like, if you see an artist, like a certain artist, you just know it's their work. And that's how God is, too. For example, there's this artist called Banksy, and I'm going to have a couple art pieces up here. This is like I actually think that Banksy is like not even, no one knows who they are, but you just know them through their like art name, which is Banksy. And the most famous one is that one with the little girl with the balloon. It's like well known. I think it's in New York City, but basically he's known as like an artist that is a vandal, like does vandalism basically. So he could get in trouble, but that's his thing, is like he'll go in the middle of the night and all of a sudden there's paparazzi in the morning because there's a new Banksy piece of art, and you can kind of tell because he has his style. Same with Pablo Picasso. We're gonna have a couple Picasso ones up here too. He always has one eye up here, one eye on the butt, something crazy. And you kind of know just by looking at it that that is a Picasso painting. An artist's masterpiece is known by the particular characteristics of the artist's work. There are four distinct characteristics of God's work in your life, and today we're going to go through the first brushstroke that he does in your life, and that is the brushstroke of the transformation. Can someone say transformation? God's brushstrokes are so uniquely him. The same way that when we kind of see, I don't know, like a certain brand, like a luxury brand, you see like the double C's and you're like, oh, that's Chanel. Like, does it say Chanel? No, but you know just because of what it looks like, or a certain style, or like Balenciaga, right? They have like a lot of, I don't know, for those of you who like fashion, but Balenciaga is a lot of streetwear, like oversized things, ripped things. Some people would be like, you're going to buy a ripped sweater. It's distinctly known by the creator. I know that that's a Balenciaga sweatshirt because of the way the vibe is. When people see God's work in your life, they're going to say that was God. That was God, because there's no way that that person who's gone through all those things is created anew. It's distinctly and uniquely God. When God touches your life and you allow him to put his brushstrokes on you, it's uniquely God. It's so obvious that no one else could have done it. It's so obvious. There's a grace upon your life that's so obvious that no amount of therapy could have gotten you to break those chains the way God did. It is so uniquely God. So uniquely God. It exudes God. And this series, guys, is for you to know your God. Not just put, oh, God first, I went to church, check the mail, the box, it's done. I did my Christian thing of the week. It's not for that. It's so you understand and have a relationship with God and know who the God you serve is. To know what's possible for him to do in you if you would just allow him. Because God is also a gentleman. He's not gonna force you into anything. The Bible says that he stands at the door and knocks, awaiting for an answer. And maybe God is knocking on your door today. The first brushstroke that God does in your life is transformation if we allow him. God doesn't improve you, he changes you. He doesn't just make you a little bit better than you were yesterday. He changes you. Your desires are going to start changing if you allow him. Some people come to church and think that religion is the way to go. But religion is more about conformity, and a relationship with God and the gospel is about transformation. Is transformity a word? Maybe it is, but it goes better. Religion is about conformity and relationship is about transformity. Someone please check if that's a word, please. If it's not, it's okay, don't post that part, okay? Now, one time I heard someone say, oh, don't go to that church, they might change you. And I'm like, don't go to that church, God might change you. Well, I hope so. I hope so. If I'm gonna go to church and wake up at 8 a.m. on a Sunday when I could be sleeping in, I hope I'm changed. I hope that I'm better than I was. I hope that my desires change and I'm a better person. Are they gonna change you? Of course we are. Not we, God. We can't change you. God is gonna change you. If you're expecting no change, why do you come to church? We're in the business of transformation. This is what we welcome. Transformation by God. We are allowing God to put his unique touch on our lives that when people see the favor and grace upon our lives, they wouldn't doubt for a second that it had to have been God. We have that quote that we say at the 11 a.m. a lot, but I think we say at the 9 a.m. What was it? That it had to have been God. There are certain things that have gone on in my life and my family, and just I've seen it in the lives of churchgoers as well in our church family. It had to have been God. There's no way the odds were stacked against that situation, or literally it didn't make sense, or physically in health conditions, we've seen cancer disappear. We've seen tumors disappear. It had to have been God. It had to have been God, uniquely God. He is the ultimate artist. It was God who healed us. It's God who changed our bitterness into joy. Yeah, we were that way once, but God, that's the gospel. And I'm gonna give you three ways that the gospel changes us. And number one is this, the gospel means change. And some of you are uncomfortable with change. I welcome it. I'm that type of person that if I have the same hairstyle for too long, I'm like, okay, shave my head. Like, actually, I don't like to stay the same, but I know for some people, that's like the ultimate thing that they hate is change. They don't wanna change. When they start changing the menu at places, you're like, oh no, they changed the menu. What am I gonna do? They put a detour on the road and you like freak out because you have no idea what to do. You're like so used to a certain routine in a certain way. Or how about in the morning, ladies, when you don't find that one makeup brush that you need and you're like, where is that brush that does my bronzer so perfectly? It's not here, now my makeup is gonna look horrible. Just change makes us uncomfortable. Change makes us uncomfortable, but the gospel means change. In 2 Corinthians, we see this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's that new again, a new. He keeps telling us one time after the other, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God does not take our old life in a way to fix it. Instead, he removes our sin through salvation and creates us anew. In other religions, you can tell when someone is a part of religion by the way they dress in certain occasions. For example, when you see a Jewish person, sometimes the males will have a kippah or a yarmulke on top of their head to show that they are conforming. That's conforming to their religion. It's not like a spiritual thing. It's really a symbol, and it's them conforming to the religion. Or like Catholic people will carry the rosary. It's something that when you see it, you know what religion. It's not like, oh, what religion is that? You kind of know. But how many of you know that for Christianity, there's no certain way to dress? It's not an outward expression. It's an inward thing. Of course, then when you are made new, then your outward expression does conform to your, but we don't conform by the way we dress. we don't have to outwardly conform, we internally transform. John 3 says this, and this is a story of a religious man who dressed like a religious man, and this is how Jesus knew. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Now pause. Here we see that Jesus sees this religious man, and off the bat, he's like, a religious man. You can tell because he was probably dressed like a religious leader. He was conforming to his religion. But it also says, notice when Nicodemus said, "We know that God sent you here to teach us." In religion, sometimes we fall into that thing where we only think that God is meant to teach us. What can I get out of this? And how many pages of my notebook, how many good notes can I get out of this? Teach us. You've sent us here to teach us. But God is not, yes, he's a teacher, but that's not the point of the gospel. It's not just so you know the information. It's so you change. He didn't send, yes, he's going to teach you. And that's awesome. And I'm glad you have all those scriptures memorized. It really does come as a help. When I'm in times of need, I remember those Bible verses that I learned in Grace Kids when I was younger. I can pull those out, but that's not the point. The point is to change us through the teaching, not just to teach us. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. He does not understand. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? He's like, that doesn't make sense. How can I be born again? I literally am so large, and how am I gonna fit back into my mother? That is weird. He's like, it doesn't fit in his mind how that's gonna happen. And God, and Jesus says this, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." Like a caterpillar allowed to develop, we experience a spiritual metamorphosis in our cocoon. And the cocoon is this church. We are supposed, the church is like the easel and we are the canvas and God is the artist. But what happens when we never come to the cocoon? Of course you can change, and a church service is not gonna change you. I'll tell you that much. If you are sitting in this room thinking that a church service is gonna change you, it's not. A church service can't change you, but a church service can make you wanna change. God can change you. God can transform you. And I believe that over us. Is anyone ready for transformation? The church is a cocoon or the easel in which we facilitate God to paint over us, to put his brushstrokes all over our lives. Number two, it says this. Number two is my point, by the way. God loves us as we are. He does. So don't feel condemned by point number one that we're supposed to change. Don't feel scared, because God does love us as we are, but he also loves us too much to leave us that way. So many churches have split into two different trains of thought. So it's either grace, the grace theology, and the grace church and the grace way, which we love grace, but it's grace, 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 mercy, love. God is love, God is mercy, God is grace, 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 grace. It's fine that you did that. It's literally totally fine. Like, don't worry about it and do it again another 10 times if you want, because grace, grace. And then there's also the other train of thought, the train of theology that is truth, only truth. So it's like, If you chew gum at church, you're going straight to hail. Like hail, two syllables, hail, like people in the South. Hail, like turn and burn, turn or burn, like literally. And it's like, oh, you do that? Oh, you messed up? Well, you can't serve at church anymore because, like, oh, you can't, oh, you did that in your past life? You're a Jezebel. Like condemnation. So, and which one is right? Which one is right? You may think grace. But the thing is, it is incorrect if it's one without the other. It is incorrect. God is more than just grace, as some believe. He is also truth. Grace invites us to be free. Grace is what the reason we're here today. Because even in our sin, God still invites us with his grace. His grace says, it's okay that you did that. I still love you. But truth invites us to be free. Grace invites us to be free, but the truth sets us free. This is beautifully illustrated in the Bible when Jesus walks past the woman at the well, and, you know, I'm not going to read the whole story, but I invite you to as well. She's a sinful woman, and I love when the way that in one sentence, In one phrase, Jesus shows both grace and truth. He says, neither do I condemn you to her. When she's there, like feeling so unworthy in her sin, Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. And he's telling you that today. I don't condemn you, church. I don't condemn you. Maybe you've been told at other churches that you're a sinner, so you are never worthy. Yes, we are not worthy, but with God, we are made worthy. He says, neither do I condemn you, but he doesn't finish there. He says this, go and sin no more. He says, no, you're not condemned, but stop what you're doing. You know what you've been up to. John 1 says this, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. There is not one without the other. It's not the whole gospel if you believe it that way. Grace attracts and the truth unravels. The grace of God is what brings us near. The grace of God is that warm feeling that when we get at church, that we're like, okay, cool. Like even though I've been told in the past that I'm a sinner and yes, we are, but the grace of God that invites us in like a warm hug. That is what the grace of God, I feel safe in the grace of God. I'm safe, you are safe in the grace of God. But the truth is what corrects us. The truth is that feeling that you get when you start feeling convicted in the things you're doing that no, maybe at one point you didn't feel guilty at all. At one point what you were doing didn't make you feel icky at all. But now when you're doing those things, you're getting convicted by the Holy, that's the Holy Spirit on your life. Telling you, hey, I love you, but that's not the right way. I love you, but it's not just the right way because I don't want you to have fun. God is not in the business of boring, I promise you. He's never put a boundary without a promise on the other side of it. He's never said, don't do this just because I'm a bad, mean God. It's because I have something better for you after. The grace of God. Grace invites us to be free and the truth sets us free. The truth sets us free. And that brings us to our last characteristic of transformation. And one I rather not say because it does step on some toes. But the thing is, I'm so glad that this is in the Bible and I don't have to, it's not me. Don't shoot the messenger. And we like the grace because it feels good and it feels warm and it's way more popular with your friends. Like if you invite them to church and all we talk about is grace, 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 they're gonna love it. But the thing is, I cannot, with my responsibility to share the word, share half the gospel. I have to share the full, and that's number three. It says, if I'm not changing, I might not really know God. And I say might because no one knows. No one knows. I can only be responsible for myself with God. I can't even know what my husband's relationship with God is. That is something so personal. But if I am not actively changing, I might not really know God. 1 John says this a million times. I'm gonna read you every time because God wants you to know this. 1 John 1:6 says this, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, actively walk in darkness, we lie. He's calling us a liar. I'm not saying you're a truther, but we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another. And by the blood of Jesus, his son purifies us from all sin. Get this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess, the best part about God is he's not saying, well, if you deceive yourselves and you have to be perfect in order to, he doesn't say that. He literally says, all we have to do is if we confess our sins, that's it. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Next verse in 1 John 2:4 says this, whoever says I know him but does not do what he commands is a liar and the truth is not in that person. This is spicy, y'all. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And the last verse is 1 John 5:3. And it says this, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. So all it says, if we want to allow God to transform us and we need to be changing, is we cannot kid ourselves and say, oh, it's fine. Like what I'm doing is fine. I know God says that. God says not to do this and God is actively warning me against this, but it's fine. Like it's fine. You are making him out to be a liar. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be caught doing that. Calling God a liar? And I don't want to be called a liar. All it says is to recognize that those things are not, it doesn't say change, it doesn't, I mean, it. We will change, but it doesn't say be perfect. It says just recognize and know that what you're doing is not okay. I have to recognize some things in my life. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I've been acting like it's okay, but it's not okay. It's not okay. I recognize these things. And then when it says in 1 John 5, to keep his commands and his commands are not burdensome. You're probably asking like, how am I gonna stop doing all of this? Just love him. Just love him. It says, this is love for God to keep his commands. His commands are not burdensome because we love him. We don't love him. You don't have to just keep the commands first. I would say love God and then you're going to keep his commands because of your love for him. I'm obedient to his commands because I love him. It's not out of religion that God loves me and God chooses me more when I'm obedient to him. It's not that. He says, come closer to me and those things will disgust you. And your sin, you will no longer be tolerant to sin. His commands will be easy to keep because I love him. I don't not be unfaithful to my husband because I'm married. It's not like, oh, I have this rule to not do that. It's because I love him that I don't even think about it. It's not like, oh, don't do that. You better not. Like, okay, I wasn't planning on it because I love him. When you love God, those things don't even come across your mind. I want to finish with three ways to let God transform you. So you're like, okay, Nicole, I got it. We need to transform. How do I do that? I'm going to give you three practical tips. Number one is get past who we were and focus on who God wants us to become. Colossians 3 says it like this. You used to walk in these ways. You, keyword, used to walk in these ways. In the life you once lived, but now there's no... No, I'm not going to sing. No, I didn't get to sing this morning, so like I'm going to sing now. No, I'm kidding. But now, you used to, but now, you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Don't allow your past to dictate your future. It may have been a chapter, a really crappy chapter, and your book may have, or that chapter may have been like a horror movie. But it's not the entire book. Too many of us are stuck in the used to instead of focusing on the but now part. Like, yes, I had this trauma, but now, but through God. Yes, I had these chains, but now. Yes, I came from that, but now. You are not who you used to be. If he's made us anew, then you need to let go. But now, God, through God. Yes, I struggled with that. And yes, I couldn't stop thinking about this temptation. And yes, this was an addiction for me, but now. I used to be addicted, but now. I used to be depressed, but now. I used to have anxiety, but now. The next action step is to give God permission to change everything. Now you may say, okay, but he's God. You say he's all powerful. The God that you preach about is one that can change things and make cancer disappear and heal people. Why do I need to give him permission to change me? That's not how God works. Because if it's forced, then it's not love. But as I said before, he's standing at the door of your heart right now, knocking. It says he waits at the door like a gentleman, waiting to be let in. And you know what? He's probably knocking on the door of your heart. Like, isn't it about time you let him in? He's been waiting there for a long time. And I'm not talking about, oh, you need to come to church more. It's not about that. It's not about coming to church more. Some people come to church every Sunday and God is still knocking at their door. Isn't it about time you let that trauma go? And not just let it go out of your own strength, because I know it's hard, but isn't it about time that you allow him to come in and take that from you? Isn't it about time that you let that baggage at his feet, that you bring those your past to him? He's knocking at the door of your heart right now saying, let me in, I can handle it for you, because you can't. You can't. Some of us maybe let him in partially. You're like, you can come here, but only to like this point. But I want to encourage you to let God paint on every part of your canvas. not just the parts that are kind of on the easier side, but then, so like you allow him in and you say, just stay at the nice part where I cleaned up, but don't go looking in the junk drawer, because that thing's a mess. Because there's things that I've gone through and things that I've done that if you knew God, if you knew what I've done, you wouldn't be knocking at my door. But he is. He still is. He's still there. Knowing what's in the closet. Knowing what torments you, what keeps you up at night. He's still knocking. And he'll never stop knocking. Psalms 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness. Not God's righteousness. Of course, his righteousness is always brought forth. But the interesting part about this is he will bring forth you sitting in this room right now. Your righteousness. All of a sudden, your marriage that was in shambles is righteous again. All of a sudden, your family that's torn apart is righteous again. All of a sudden, the broken relationships in your life are beginning to be mended. All of a sudden, the things that you could not even begin to fathom, that was too big of a prayer for you, all of a sudden, your righteousness is brought forth. Your blessings are brought forth. Restoration is brought forth. Philippians 2:3, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. What does this mean? When we love God, our desires change. Your desires will change. God does that. That is the gospel. That is the God we serve. You're like, I still find myself wanting this thing and I'm struggling with this. And I still run back to this time and time again. Run closer to God. I'm not saying behavior modification, it's heart transformation. It's not like don't do that or God is gonna spank you. It's not about that. It's about love him so much that you won't even think about those other things. He will change the desires. It says he will give you his desires for you. He's not just gonna put like a yes on everything you want. He says, let me change your mind, transform your mind to want the things to do that please me. Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And the last thing we can do to allow transformation to start today. This is what's great about the word of God. It's so relevant that you can just walk out of this room and allow it to happen today. Number three, allow the change to begin today. Allow the change to begin today. 2 Corinthians 3 says this, and don't miss this moment, church. Don't miss this moment, because God is still knocking on your door for some of you. Don't let that moment go by. 2 Corinthians 3, and we all with unveiled face. I love that. What does unveiled mean? It means we're taking that mask off. It's that mask that we've been wearing for too long, pretending to be holy, holy church people, when really we've got a junk drawer at home and God is still knocking at our door. Don't miss this moment. With unveiled face, with the grace of God, we can be unveiled. Jesus already paid it. Jesus already paid it all. So don't worry, it's not on you. Thank God it's not on us. We can come with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of God. Everything that we've been taught today is a reflection moment, okay? It's as a mirror. We're reflecting in this time. We're reflecting on the way we've been behaving, the way that the heart condition that we have, we're reflecting right now. I'm gonna encourage you, reflect in this moment. With unveiled face, that means not what you want to see, what is actually happening in your home, what's actually going on within you and your soul. With unveiled face, we are reflecting. We're reflecting God. We're reflecting the grace and the truth. We're reflecting. We are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We can be in glory with God if we allow him to transform us. And when we remember who we are and whose we are, it's a lot easier to do that. There's a story that I want to share with you guys. And it's found in this movie. I don't know if you guys know it. It's called The Lion King. And there's a moment where Simba, because of unfortunate circumstances, is separated from his dad. Unfortunately. But Simba, he doesn't know what his purpose is, right? He doesn't know what he's supposed to do. He doesn't, honestly, he's kind of like, in his mourning, in not knowing what's going on. His life is in chaos. So he finds these two friends, Timon and Pumbaa, and they're crazy, okay? They're crazy. They're scoundrels. They eat insects. They do what they want. And what is that song they sing? It means no worries for the rest of our day. That means we have no worries. It doesn't matter what we do. Let's just live in the flesh, basically. Like, let's live in what pleases us because nothing really matters. I don't really know my purpose. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. So let me just live crazy, eat everything that I want, sleep all day, go in the jacuzzi. That's what they did the whole time. And that's how Simba lived for a long time. That's with no regrets. He lived like that. But what happened? Until he had a mirror moment, a reflection moment. Do you guys remember that scene? When he looks into the river and he sees and he remembers who his father was. And he goes, wait, I'm made for more than this. I'm made for more. I've been predestined for more. My purpose is far more than what I've been doing. And some of us need to have that mirror moment and remember who our father was. Remember, we are meant for more than this. We are meant to be transformed. God loves you so much. He loves you as you are, and he loves you in your sin. But he doesn't love your sin. And maybe you've been kidding yourself and thinking, it's fine, like, the more I ignore it. No. If we are not changing, then we don't know the gospel. And I'm sorry to tell you that. I wish it wasn't that way, but I'm not God. It's grace and truth, and we need to receive. God is more than able to change your circumstance. He is more than able to remind you. He's reminding you right now, church. Can you stand to your feet? I think some of us need to have this mirror moment with God right now. Will you, just a way of symbolism, will you just open your hands like this right next to you? Sometimes we come with God to God with closed fists in a lot of aspects, with our tithes, with our servitude, with everything. But right now we have open hands because we are releasing what we're holding and we are open to receiving God's transformation. We are open in the name of Jesus. Your church is ready for a transformation, God. We are ready and willing. We recognize our sin. We are not tolerant to our sin. We call it out and say, this is not who we are meant to be. This is not what God has in store for us. We recognize that you have far more for us, God. We recognize that you're going to take us from glory to glory to glory, from our generations to generations, that where we step foot, we will have favor and grace upon our lives and everything that we do, that you will give us wisdom that surpasses all understanding. You will give us creative ideas. You will give us an identity. Some of us have been struggling with identity in the room. We don't know what, we're a little confused about who we are and who we're meant to be, but God, you are bringing a clarity in this mirror moment. We're reflecting on the goodness of your word and what you've done, God, and we know you are the same God who healed back then is the same God who is healing now. The same God who transformed lives back then is the same God who is transforming now. You are more than able to meet me in my mess. You are more than able to take this sin and transform me. Make me anew in the name of Jesus. Your church is willing, honors you, loves you, trusts you, and everyone in Grace City says amen.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with your family, friends, frenemies. Lord knows we all need more Jesus. Until next week.